Welcome, all my relations. I'm Dr. Anita Sanchez. I'm Nahuatl tribe of Central Mexico and Mexican American. I'm here in Boulder, Colorado, the land of the first peoples who are remain still here are the Cheyenne, the Ute, and the Arapaho. And I'm grateful to them for taking such good care of this land, loving it, and allowing me to be here. So thank you for hearing the call and being curious about coming and going deeper into the whole understanding of the power to forgive the unforgivable, a power that each one of us has. And it's a natural power. And so you would think we'd be doing a whole lot more of forgiving. And so why do we need forgiveness? Let's just start there. We see so much suffering happening, so much division in every sector we're talking about, in government, in politics, in our society, in gender relations. You know, where is the harmony? There's so much suffering, race relations, all the inequities. People are suffering, rates are going up higher on depression and grief, loss. Suicide has grown in numbers. And so there is one of the reasons why this gift of forgiveness can help reduce the suffering and allow us to be who we're meant to be here in this world, contributing our gifts in the one hoop of life. Now, you might be coming here because you're experiencing some of that. Some people are also just experiencing confusion, having difficulty dealing with all of the uncertainty and how long will that last. Others may be coming because you already know that the gift of the power to forgive the unforgivable is an important one, and learning new skills. We know you may come and you have big visions, but then even though you have a big vision and you're about action and doing the work to get to that vision, you find yourself stuck at times. And what I will suggest to you and give some of the understanding, deeper understanding about that today, is the power to forgive the unforgivable is one of the things that releases us, so that even if you have a big vision and you're going for it, you will find that it'll become even bigger and you'll be more effective in moving forward. So the power to forgive the unforgivable is a very important gift that each and every one of us has. So I want to talk about what forgiveness is not. Because I know for my own life, I had difficulty at the beginnings in my early years forgiving because I had all these misnomers about what is forgiveness. I thought forgiveness meant weakness. You couldn't hold your stand. I thought forgiveness meant that you forgot, that you forget what happened, the hurts and mistreatments to you as an individual or to whole groups of people. I thought forgiveness was being disloyal to yourself and to whole groups of people who've experienced, you know, genocide and all sorts of horrors to them collectively. So I thought forgiveness also meant that you didn't seek justice, that you were just weak. And it doesn't mean that. In fact, what I found is that I'm far more of an activist now with releasing the forgiveness, releasing the hurts and mistreatments and using my gift of forgiveness. So again, it's a very, very powerful thing to do. So forgiveness really is about self-love. Forgiveness is about loving yourself enough that you want to be free. Free from all the things that did or did not happen, the hurts and mistreatments, the resentments, the anger, all that pain, all that energy that goes into that, to release that, forgiving yourself or forgiving others. And oftentimes it's forgiving yourself is hardest. But releasing all that so that you can be present to what is. Use your energy for what is. And so what I found is that all many of those things that hurt me in the past, that by staying present to what is, I'm more effective at modeling the change that I want. Being clear-headed and open-hearted to seek the allies and collaborate with people to make the positive changes in the world. So forgiveness is a pathway to freedom. Forgiveness is a pathway to unconditional love of yourself that then you can give to others. Forgiveness, as I learned from an elder, Basil Braveheart, several summers ago, forgiveness is a passcode to your own divinity. Allow that to enter the ceremonial part of your heart. So there's many reasons for us to forgive. You would think there'd be a whole lot more forgiveness going on, and we certainly can tell around the world the areas and places and people and situations, all the things that need forgiveness, so that we can use our energy now and creating what we want. Not forgetting, not necessarily not seeking justice or anything, but to really be present. So hopefully that, as you can see the smile on my face, I know a lot about forgiveness. So forgiveness, I want to share a little bit about my history so that you know it's not something just theoretical or a model that I've studied for decades, but rather has been essential to my own life to be able to be doing the kind of work and being the person I am in the world today. So in many ways, my early childhood was wonderful. I grew up with this Nahuatl Stekin grandmother and my mom, and they taught us so much about our relationship to the earth and the plants and the sun, and they taught us about medicine and about community and how we're never alone. We're always a part of the one hoop of life. We might get lonely, that's a human condition, but that even gets reduced when you keep remembering and knowing how you are part of and not separate from. So it was quite wonderful in many ways. That illusion of separateness that is so strong out in the larger society really dissipates with that kind of knowing and understanding who you really are in the world. But it wasn't all fabulous. It wasn't all fabulous. I kept a dark secret. From age 4 to 13, I was sexually abused. And I kept that secret. And with the abuse, with the poverty, I remember in my early years, there'd be 8 of us to a house with 2 rooms. And all the other inequities that exist, that's enough. But then at age 13, I also had the experience of my father being murdered. And I remember that summer day when 2 police officers came to the front door and I was with my mom, and they asked if they could come in. And so we went into the living room and they looked at my mom and said, "Mrs. Sanchez, we're sorry to have to tell you, your husband has been in a serious accident, and do you have any knowledge of why anyone would want to hurt him?" And my mother looked puzzled, and we both sat down and they sat down, and they went on to explain that earlier that day, that there was a white man and a black man who were in the neighborhood bar across around the corner from our home, a place where my father would come after work and have a beer and then come home. And this white man and black man were having an argument. And later in the same day, my father goes there to have a beer, and he's sitting at the same place where the black man had been sitting. And my father was dark complected. The white man returned and just saw the profile of his face and fired 3 bullets and killed him on the spot. Take a breath. As you can imagine, that day changed my life. That loss and grief were huge. And the following week added to that, added to the work, the challenges that I had. That is, the week after the murder of my father, a white woman and her son, who was probably around 13, came to our front door. And again, I'm there beside my mom, and she began to introduce herself. She says, "I am the wife and the son of the man who murdered your husband. And Mrs. Sanchez, I had to come. I had to see you because you need to understand my husband is a good man. He never would have killed your husband if he knew he was Mexican and Native American. He thought he was Black, and you know how Black people are. And she began continuing saying these horrific things. I never heard my mom scream at a total stranger. She knew how to scream, but not at a total stranger. And I remember her screaming, "Stop! Stop! You don't even know what you're saying, the hatred you are teaching your son. But I want you to know I'm going to try really hard to pray for your soul, but you get off my porch." And that night, she gathered my five brothers and sisters and I and sat us down and said, "Okay, I'm going to tell you this. I'm only going to tell you this once, but I want you to listen with the softest part of your ears and expanding heart. A white man murdered your father. Not the white race, a white man. And I've taught you, yes, there are some people who are ignorant and will just want to cause you harm because of the color of your skin, because of who you are. But I don't believe that is most people. Most people are kind. Most people want the same things that all of us want. You know, a healthy family and good relationships and ability to work and to contribute." And then she opened the newspaper, and there was a picture of my father on the floor with blood all around him. And she said, this is racism. This must stop. The belief that it is okay to disrespect, to not treat the dead with dignity and the families that are there. If ever a violence happens to a white person, it never gets shown with pictures for everyone to see. But when it's a Mexican or a Black person or an Asian person or a Native American person, it's all over, and this must stop. So out of pain can transform and cause some good things to happen. So I didn't know that what I was going to grow up to be was a doctor in organization development, working with people all over the world. But I should have known, because at age 3 and 4 is when I began having the dream that still continues into my adulthood. The dreams that I love to share with my mom and my grandmother and my family. And in that dream, I saw the earth and all these stick people of different sizes and colors, and they had their hands on each other's hearts. And I knew, even in kindergarten, when they asked us, as they probably asked you, "What are you going to be when you grow up?" And people with the crayons make mommies and daddies and nurses and doctors and firemen and all the good things. And I drew that earth with the people. And I remember being the 24th person in my class and standing there with my picture and said, "I'm one of these. When I grow up, I'm going to help people connect their hearts all over the world. And there are lots of us." Sometimes the unseen, the mystery, continues to push us forward, even when we're in great pain from loss, like the murder of my father. So lo and behold, you know, I went to work right away because the family needed money. All of us did, that looked old enough. 16, I'm starting the university. And I continue to get my degrees, and I begin to work in business as an organization development person, trainer, consultant, strategist, helping people all over the world in diversity, equity, and inclusion to come together, to be able to hear their stories and their dreams and learn how to appreciate each other and to collaborate. Well, the story I told you about the white woman and her young son began occurring in my dreams in the 80s as I brought week after week circles of people of color together. And they would share their stories and their dreams and the pain and suffering and their dreams. And then there would be circles of white people sharing their pain, sharing their dreams, and many, not all, but many of them sharing stories of how their parents taught them that they were better than people who look like me, or even darker skinned Black people, Asian people, other Native people, Latinos, but that they loved their parents as they always would, but they didn't believe that. And they knew that this was not right. And so they were changing themselves and changing the decision-making and the hiring and different processes inside their organizations. Not fast enough. We know there's still so much work to do, but I could see room after room, true open-hearted people doing their best to make the change. And something happened to me that the young Anita, the 13-year-old who was filled with pain and suffering from the brutal murder and loss of my father, I was having the dream of that white woman and that young boy, night after night, only I couldn't see the young boy's face. Everything was so clear, but I didn't see his face. But week after week with this dream, his face became clearer and clearer till I know that I would be able to identify this man, this young boy who is now a man. I would know who he was. And that really hit me. And that's when the forgiveness came in. Not only of the murderer, but of myself. Because what I came to understand is that I was becoming what I didn't want. My father's humanity was taken away. I took away that white boy's face. That 13-year-old believed that that white boy was probably going to go the same path as his father, if not literally killing someone, then at least denying the people of color dignity and respect and causing other kinds of harm. But listening to all these people, these circle after circle, and seeing the actual actions that were taking place, the adult Anita realized that that was not who I am, to take away someone's humanity. And that summer day, I can have compassion for myself and my family. My five brothers and sisters and I lost our father that summer day, but so did that white boy. He lost his father and he grew up knowing his father was a murderer. And I've wished that young boy, that man, a good life, a life with the hope and my willingness to support creating an environment where we can come and join hearts and minds in the workplace and in the community. So we each have the power to forgive the unforgivable. And I know what that means, the freedom that gave me. I'm forgiving the murderer and forgiving that woman who said those horrific things, that I could now put my energy into helping create vibrant communities in the society, in communities in the workplace, that I could be a part of that, present to what is, willing to collaborate and trust to create what is wanted, rather than being stuck in the past, not forgetting what happened, but also not using up my energy with resentment and anger and being stuck and becoming something I did not want to be in the world. We each have the gift to forgive. We have to just decide we want to. And there's many, many methods for forgiveness. There's some that can happen very quickly. There's some processes that can take decades. It really starts with, though, you're willing to listen. Listen to what is happening inside your body, in your heart. Listen to the messages that are coming to you from outside, from nature and from other people. Is this being called forward to heal? Even as I speak to you, there are different images and thoughts that are coming forward. Is it time to heal this, to forgive it? But one needs to listen and not run away. So listening is critical. The other thing is supportive relationships. So I get to be here with you today to offer my expertise and support in a process that we'll go through in just a few moments. You may need other kinds of support from people and from nature. It can come from many different places, but be open to that. It can be even calling from your ancestors. The third thing that I've found in helping to do the healing and to forgive the unforgivable is unconditional love. It starts with love of yourself. Because when one begins to understand the rift between your who you are and how you're operating and the pain and suffering and the energy using, there is the desire. This is the divinity of yourself that's wanting to heal that, make whole. Love of yourself. And then, of course, when we know we can love ourselves unconditionally, we can give that out into the world. And the fourth thing that I know is important, and I appreciate you coming here because it has to do with positive action. The forgiveness, the healing doesn't just happen. You have to be in action. And sometimes it's big action, and sometimes it's little action. Sometimes it's very conscious action. And sometimes it just happened. Oh my gosh, what a gift this happened. I can feel it released. The hurts, the pains, and mistreatments, that I can be present to what is now. I can be more powerful in creating positive change. So what I'd like to do with you all is to have you experience a guided imagery. And to do this, I would ask that you get comfortable in where you're seated. And I'm going to ask you in a moment to lower and close your eyes. And I'm going to take you on a journey. You will not be hypnotized, and you'll be totally aware of what's going on. And you just follow my voice. You don't have to worry. You won't. There is nothing to you can do wrong. You'll be just fine. I'm putting up just a picture here of letting go, embracing change. I'm going to take you through a five elements guided imagery exercise. And so if you would get comfortable or you're seated, lower or close your eyes just so you're not distracted. And we all know, just listen to my voice. We've all experienced wisdom and healing energy of nature. We know that when we're at our workplace or in our personal lives, if things get hectic, we can just look at a flower or look out the window or go outside and be next to a tree. And it has this moment, this power to just give us some relief and regrounding us. As we experience the healing power of nature, we can more readily experience the power within us because we are part of nature. Science tells us that, and Indigenous elders, wisdom keepers, have told us that for millennia. So in this guided meditation, again, you can't do anything wrong. You're just going to use your imagination as I take you to through the five elements, where you will just let go and release that which is no longer needed. So if you would, take a breath, inhale through your nose, right down, take the oxygen right down to your belly button, and then exhale through your mouth. Inhale again through your nose. Take it right down to your belly button. Deep breath, and exhale through your mouth. And one more time, inhale through your nose, right through to your belly button. And now exhale through your mouth. Merely listen to my voice as I guide you through this meditation. Aware of your breathing, I'd like you to tighten up all your muscles, starting with your toes. Just scrunch up all the muscles. Feel them tighten right through your legs, your buttocks, your stomach, your torso. Tighten your hands, make them into fists, your whole arm. Tighten everything. Squish up your face. People can't see you. Just tighten all the muscles throughout your whole body. So your whole body's almost shaking as you're here, sitting in this chair. And then as you exhale, allow all those muscles relax from the top of your head down through your face, feeling the muscles relax, your hands spread on your lap, allowing the muscles to relax in your lungs, right down through your whole torso and your buttocks, your legs. Allow your toes to spread inside your shoes or on the floor. Aware of your breathing and aware of how relaxed you are, how that when you tell your muscles to release, to relax, they do. Just continue to be aware of your breathing. And wherever there is any tension left in your body, just tell it to relax and to relax even more. Now, using your imagination, find yourself near a small body of water. If you haven't already, you do now. You are near a small body of water, and nearby an object of some sort catches your attention. Describe what that object is to yourself, noticing any details about it, small or large. Now look at yourself. Imagine yourself, see yourself near that object. Get a clear picture of yourself. Describe to yourself how you look, your face, your body, what you're wearing. Note any colors, lights, smells, sounds. Allow your imagination to fully become aware of how you look and feel next to this small body of water and this object. And now go into the water. Tell yourself, in being water, what I am sensing is. Take in fully what it feels like to be water. Now release into the water all those things that can only be released in water. Just let them go. Do not identify them or count them or name them. Effortlessly, just let go of whatever that is. Simply let it go. Whatever it is you no longer need, release it into the water. Now you become a stream. Experience the gentle flow of being a stream. And then imagine yourself as the stream getting larger and larger, and you become a river and you flow freely. Tell yourself how it is being a large flowing river. Now you become an even bigger river and you flow faster and faster. And yet at the same time, experiencing being water, the river flowing fast, you also feel very relaxed. Now the river begins to fall and it becomes a waterfall. Tell yourself how it is to be a waterfall. Now become an even larger waterfall, even larger still. Become the largest waterfall that you can imagine. Experience the power and strength of being this mighty waterfall. Be the strength and power. Hear the power of the water crashing down below of this mighty waterfall that you are. You come to know that you are a unique, sacred waterfall. Tell yourself what it is like to be a sacred waterfall. People, animals, nature come to you for healing and support. Experience your joy at being sacred and present to help and support life. You understand. You are a unique waterfall. There are no others like you. You are meant to be here at this time. You're very special. You are one of a kind. Tell yourself how it feels to be this water. Now become the spray from this waterfall as it rises up to the beam of light in the sky. Become the beam of light. This is different, being light. Allow your senses to sense what it is, what it feels like to be light. Experience what it is to be pure light. Enjoy the full power of being light. Now let go. Release into the light those things that can only be released in light. You do not need to name them. You don't need to count them. Just let them go. Continue to let go those things that can only be released into the light. Now as light, it's moving through a cloud and becomes a cloud. This is different, being a cloud. You become air. Sense what it is like to be air. What does it feel like to be air? Let go. Release into the air those things that can only be released in air. You do not need to name them. You do not need to count them. Just let them go. And now you gather strength and you become a storm. You're not frightened. You know this is part of your nature. And you're a storm and you get bigger and bigger. You feel the power and joy of being a wonderful storm. You cannot make any mistakes. Enjoy being a storm. As a storm, you continue to grow in power. And you become a tornado. Sense the strength of being the tornado. Enjoy the power of it. This is different. And the tornado, you begin to understand, has a very important task to do. You are this tornado, and out in this totally remote, desolate area where there are no people living, there is a set of abandoned farm buildings that are crumbling. And you sense, as this tornado, the crumbling farm buildings are a safety hazard to the animals who were trapped and have died in it. Destroy those collapsing, dangerous buildings and enjoy clearing the site so it can once again be safe. You cannot make any mistakes. Enjoy being a tornado, getting rid of those dwellings that are hazardous. Enjoy clearing the site. Now you become lightning. Sense what it is like to be lightning. And you have another important task to do. You strike the dry, desolate forest that needs fire for renewal. There are no people or animals here. Just become a raging forest fire. Enjoy being fire. Become an even bigger fire and burn this desolate forest down. While you burn the dead wood and nourish the soil, you enjoy releasing into fire that which can only be released in fire. You do not need to name it or count it. Just release into the fire that which is no longer needed and can only be released in fire. Continue to burn and burn all that needs to be burned for renewal so that one day new growth can take place. Once you have completed the burning, you become the charcoal left by the fire. This feels different. Allow yourself to be ground into the earth. The animals have returned. The seeds are being nourished and popping open in the earth. You can sense the animals, their feet gently grounding the charcoal into the earth. Enjoy being the charcoal, being an important nutrient for Pachamama, for Mother Earth. Now become Pachamama, Mother Earth. How does it feel to be Mother Earth? Experience the power. Experience all the diverse parts of being Earth. Experience having a sense of all the changes within yourself. As you release into the earth those things that can only be released into the earth, do not name them, do not count them, just let them go. Enjoy releasing those things into the earth. Continue to enjoy being Earth. And notice that a fresh hole has been dug into you, into the Earth. Do not fear this hole. You're curious, enjoying the richness of this hole in Mother Earth. And now notice someone walks up to the hole in the earth. With all your senses, you're keenly aware that this someone is you. This is different. You are both earth and human being. You're sensing what it is like to be both earth and human being. As a human being, you have a choice to make. You can choose to get into the hole and be buried in yourself in the earth, feeling held in Mother Earth herself. Or you can choose to remain on the surface of the earth next to the hole. If you have not already, make your choice now. You can do nothing wrong. If you have chosen to go into the hole, use all of your senses to know what it feels like, remembering, knowing what it is to be earth. If you have chosen to remain on the surface of the earth next to the hole, use all of your senses to know what it is to be both earth and on the surface. Now those who are in the hole, rise up from the earth and the hole. And those who remained on the surface, rise from the earth and turn from the hole. Once again, using your imagination, find yourself next to the object that you saw at the beginning of this meditation when you were standing next to a small body of water. Notice anything about yourself or about that object that attracts your attention. Just become with ease aware of anything large or small. Has the object changed in any way? Just be aware of the object and any changes. Sensing as much about the object and any changes as possible. You cannot do anything wrong. Once you have sensed and learned of the changes for yourself, allow your awareness to come back to you, aware of you sitting on the chair. Becoming aware of your breathing. Sensing the ease with which the energy is flowing through your body. Enjoy that you can accept the joy of being you and a part of all life. Aware of the muscles in your body, aware of your toes beginning to wiggle. Aware of muscles wanting to move in your body. And when you're ready, you will open your eyes and be here right now. And you may want to wiggle a little bit. You're on a wonderful journey of the five elements that are part of you and you are part of them. Let's take a deep breath. Bring your hands up to your chest. And in an inhale, raise your arms up. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. Inhale again and exhale. Nature that we are part of has a lot of power and ability to help us to release, to heal, to forgive. You may find that you will wish to jot down a couple of things of what you experienced, or you may not. You may choose later to talk to someone about what you experienced, or you may not. As Indigenous people, we allow for all of that. The key thing is to listen. Listen to your heart. Listen with the softest part of your ear. And allow and accept the growth, the changes, the freedom, the love of yourself. I hope you're smiling. Allow yourself to realize in a deeper way your own divinity, how each of us is a part of this one hoop of life, no one greater, no one lesser, here with human beings, the two-leggeds, the four-leggeds, the winged, the fish, the water, the earth, the fire, the air. We truly are all connected and have the ability to become not only human doings, which so much focuses on, and it is a time to be in action, but as Indigenous people, we talk about human beings. So how we be, are we caring for ourselves? Are we releasing that which needs to be released? So I thank you again for coming and for participating, for hearing the call to forgive the unforgivable, the power that each one of us has. Be gentle with yourself. That is to say, please drink plenty of water. It may feel like you just did a simple guided meditation, but you actually were on a journey. So drink some water. Pay attention to your breathing. And you may find when we finish here in a few minutes, you'll want to even step outside or look outside the window or just filled with gratitude for being alive, for all the gifts you have. And I also would like to invite you to receive some gifts from me. You'll be able to download an ebook on the five things all people need to thrive. And you can go to foursacredgifts.com, F-O-U-R, foursacredgifts.com. It's the title of my book, the foursacredgifts.com. And there you can learn more about the book and the gifts from the elders from all over the world, from the four directions. You can also go to foursacredgifts.com, same location, and you can learn more about the e-course that has now opened, because so many people are asking not only about the gift of the power to forgive the unforgivable, but the other three gifts that are so essential at this time for us to restore harmony with ourselves, more healthy, effective relationships with ourselves, other people, nature, and earth herself. So you can go again to foursacredgifts.com and the promise, as was promised from the Eagle Hoop prophecy, where 27 elders came together from all over the world, was that we would be entering a time of a great winter, and it doesn't seem to be ending, things we couldn't even imagine. However, human beings will remember by using the four gifts how to be in right relationship with ourselves, with other people, other two-leggeds, with all of our relatives, and with Earth herself. And I know if you came to listen to what I had to share from the Indigenous wisdom keepers from around the world, that you are part of this mission. You are part of the message. You are the part of the rising of human beings who are saying, wait, I love myself. I love life. I love the children and your children and other species' children. And we can together create a thriving world. We can restore harmony. It'll take some work, but what better thing and meaning for our lives? So again, I thank you so much for allowing me to share about the power to forgive the unforgivable. And I wish you the best life. And I wish for you to use the gifts to listen to the call, for you are needed. You are part of the one hoop of life. I thank you, all my precious relations.